This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. On November 2nd, voters will head to the polls to elect candidates for office. But there are also three ballot questions this campaign season. The question getting the most attention is question three, which would cut the state sales tax from its current 6.25% to 3%. We hit the streets earlier today to find out what shoppers near Boston's Landmark Center think of cutting the sales tax by more than half.
I'm Nancy Hellman, and I live at Simmons College. I think it's a great idea because families that are suffering right now economically, I mean, if they have to pay that high tax every time they get their needs, I think it's unfair.
I'm Ralph Upchurch. I'm from Brookline. I think the state needs the money. I think it would result in a lot of cutbacks if we were to drastically reduce state revenues like that, and I don't want to see that happen.
I'm Samantha Moore, and I'm from Boston, right in this area here. Well, I think it'd be great, definitely, you know, help us out a lot, shopping, definitely.
I'm David Ranney, and I'm from Bedford, Massachusetts. I think it's too much. I'd like to see it rolled back to the original 5%. I'd like to see the liquor tax repealed, but I'd like to see both those things happen after the state has recovered, the economy has recovered, and the state's stabilized a little bit.
We're going to dive into both sides of the debate in just a few minutes. But before we get there, we're joined by WBUR business and technology reporter Kurt Nickisch for some background on ballot question three. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, Sasha.
Kurt, what do we know for sure about what cutting the sales tax to 3% would mean for the state?
Well, make no mistake about it. It would be a game-changing cut to the state budget. I mean, simply put, you know, the state budget is upwards of about $30 billion. This would take $2.5 billion away. That sounds like a manageable cut. But what you have to realize is that a lot of the state's income is federal money for Medicaid. That can't be cut. There's other entitlement spending in there. So you're talking about taking $2.5 billion out of a much smaller amount. Now, I know your guests are going to argue over these numbers, but the Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation says this is more like taking $2.5 billion out of $17 billion of cuttable spending. And so to do that, it's estimating that you're talking about a 30% cut to spending on education, police, local aid, roads and bridges. The flip side is that the average voter gets, on average, $700 back, but it is a very big change.
So the state has a $30 billion budget. You're saying about $13 billion of that is federal. That means $17 billion comes from the state. We're going to have to take $2.5 billion out of that $17 billion.
A lot of that $13 billion is federal. There's other. You can debate about what exactly is entitlement spending, what can and can't be cut, but a lot cannot.
So $2.5 billion will have to come out. The question is, where will the money come from? How likely is it that this measure could pass?
Well, according to a Boston Globe poll late last month, it's 50-50, split down the middle. So statistically, that's what you'd have to say. My gut tells me that a lot of people who say they're going to vote yes, they want to see changes, and there's some motivation there to send a message when they get to the into the booth.
So these are the angry voters.
Yeah, angry or motivated voters. But you can express your vote for change in a lot of different ways, and it's not just question three that's going to be on the ballot. You can express your vote for change in the governor's race. You can vote to have the alcohol sales tax repealed. So considering the slate of options. And the fact that, you know, the governor candidates all sort of in common say that they want question three to fail, I think it's much more likely that people are going to vote for other things and not pass question three. But latest poll, 50-50.
Now, this is a binding resolution. Does that mean that if it does pass, it will go into effect?
Governor Patrick and his opponents generally say that they're going to abide by the will of the voters, and I think that's very smart of them. I won't forget covering the special election for the Senate earlier this year, and when the fill-in Senator Paul Kirk said that even if Massachusetts voted for Scott Brown, sending the message that they didn't want health care reform, he would still vote for it. He looked really out of touch. He really helped fuel Scott Brown's win. Right now, the candidates are essentially saying, we hear your anger. We're going to do what you say. They're trying to let some steam off. Come November, if it passes, could be a different story. And the governor can veto this resolution. Don't forget that Massachusetts voters once tried to roll back the state income tax to 5%. State government only met them halfway.
Kurt Nickisch, WBUR's business and technology reporter, thank you for that.
Sure thing.
Listeners, we are going to debate this in just a few seconds, but we are taking calls and we want to know what you think about question three. We want to know if you think the state's sales tax should be slashed by more than half, from 6.25 to 3. We want to know if you think people need that break in this down economy and that would give them the break they need, or do you think it would cripple state services and local aid and be devastating to Massachusetts? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So to debate question three, we have in the studio Carla Howell. She's of the Alliance to Roll Back Taxes. That's the group that has helped spearhead this November ballot initiative. Carla, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
And we also have Steve Crawford of the Massachusetts Coalition for Our Communities, which is calling for a no vote on question three. Steve, thanks also to you for being here.
Thank you.
Carla Howell, I want to start with you because you say very forcefully that voting for question three, so cutting the sales tax from 6.25 to 3, will do a number of things that are good for the state. It would create jobs, you say about 33,000 new private sector jobs. It would put almost $700 a piece back in the pockets of taxpayers. Tell me first, why do you think so the link is so direct that if you cut the sales tax, that creates 33,000 private sector jobs?
Thanks. First of all, I have to set the record straight here. I have to say, frankly, I'm disappointed in your reporter here who has made three assertions that are incorrect. First of all, this total state spending is not $30 billion. It's $52 billion. He's getting his numbers from a so-called watchdog group that's actually representing politically connected corporations and has always advocated against tax cuts and for the corporations he represents.
That's not
the
true.
Actual spending is $52 billion, and that, you go to the comptroller's office, there's a link from our website, rollbacktaxes.com, and I think we need some responsible reporting here
to tell people
what total spending
is. That's your point one. Before you go on, Steve, we just heard Steve Crawford say it's not true. Steve, you dispute that?
Well, it's easier to get lost in the numbers, and frankly, I think the proponent, that's what they want people to do to make this cut seem less dramatic. But to criticize the Max Taxpayers Foundation as a group that has always supported tax increases and somehow being in the pockets of state government is, I don't represent them, but it's unfair to this business group to characterize them that way. And in fact, there isn't a single business group in this state that supports the passage of question three.
Steve, do you disagree with the $52 billion versus $30
billion? Oh, of course.
Budget?
It's not a number that anybody else uses. And I'm not going to argue.
Except for the comptroller's office,
which
publishes the financial statement for the state. It is $52 billion, and that's indisputable. Also, we're 10 points ahead in the polls, in all the recent polls, except for the one that was the most inaccurate. Let's just start to set the record straight here. It's also about $900 the average family and a little less than $700 for the individual worker that they would get back in their budgets if we reduce the sales tax to 3%. But to answer your question,
the question being, tell me how you think cutting the sales tax to 3% directly results in 33,000 private sector new jobs.
This is based on a study by the Beacon Hill Institute, which said that when they raise the sales tax from 5% to 6.25%, that would cost us about 12,000 private sector jobs. And sure enough, when they raised the sales tax along with five other taxes last year, unemployment went sky high. We lost 94,000 jobs last year. Today we have 600,000 people in this state looking for full-time work, 300,000 who are unemployed, almost as many who are underemployed, who have lost clients, who have had their pay cut and their hours cut. So we have a very difficult economy out there, and we need this tax relief, a mere 5% cut in state spending.
So you're saying cutting the sales tax caused jobs to be lost?
That's right.
Raising the sales tax
causes to lose 12,000 private sector jobs. Turn that metric in reverse. Lower the tax to 3%. We create 33,000 private sector jobs.
Steve Crawford is laughing. Steve?
I'm not even going to argue the value of taking a study that someone else did and using and applying the reverse. What I will say is Massachusetts has added 65,000 jobs since the month of December. We are adding jobs at a faster rate than any state in the nation. And to take a risky step like passing question three will do undue harm to our economy in a way that most independent observers think is just not worth the risk.
Carla, I want to go back to you on your job creation argument, because I wonder what kind of jobs these would be. So, for example, if the cut results in firefighters, police officers, maybe construction workers losing their jobs if there aren't as many state construction bids. Who will be getting jobs created? Are you talking about private sector jobs?
Well, first of all, money back in the hands of the men and women who earned it stimulates the economy across the board. That's money they can spend, save, give away, put an addition on their house, pay for their child's tuition, pay off their credit card debts. It all goes back into the economy and creates jobs. One of the biggest beneficiaries will be retail businesses, especially along the northern border, where people run to New Hampshire to buy a lot of goods. And the retail sector, especially along the border, is hurt very badly by the high sales tax. It will also help the retailers along the southern and western border of the state, where we will attract shoppers from Rhode Island, Connecticut, and New York who will come here as they did during the tax holiday weekend in droves to shop in Massachusetts.
Well, Steve Crawford, to that point, aren't we now losing money to New Hampshire because of our higher sales tax?
I know that people think that there probably will be a benefit to the retail sector. I don't want to say there won't be. There may be, but this does nothing to eliminate the difference along the New Hampshire border. I grew up in Chelmsford. I know people go back and forth from the New Hampshire border, but there's still going to be a sales tax in Massachusetts, and there's not going to be one in New Hampshire. So this question really doesn't fix that issue.
Well, it cuts it to 3%. It cuts it in half, and that's a big benefit for a lot
there's
of people.
There's still a difference, though.
Steve, there are certainly listeners out there who, as we heard from the roundup of voices at the beginning of this segment, they feel like it's a bad economy. They'd really rather pay less at the register than more. What about people who say it sounds pretty good to have a sales tax?
Some of them said that, but it's also where you went. I think if you went to Lawrence, where they have eliminated the gang unit in the city of Lawrence, and asked them outside the police station what they thought of that, you might get a different answer. If you went to Hull and stood at an athletic field where they've eliminated all the athletic programs in the city, you might get a different answer. If you go to a retail center, which I don't want to you're going to get the answers are going to be skewed.
So, Steve, you have just mentioned Lowell losing its gang unit. Lawrence losing its gang unit. Hull having to decimate school activities, school sports. Give us a sense of what else you think would result in terms of these kinds of community cuts if the sales tax is dropped.
To try to put the $2.5 billion in perspective, that is half of what we spend every year on public education in Massachusetts.
That is half of the local spending, which goes indirectly to education. You're completely leaving out the $10 billion spent by the cities and towns, which funds most of the schools, and also the fact that these schools have been increasing their spending every year, including now.
If I may finish. It's $2.5 billion. It's half of what we spend on public education every year. What you will see in the local communities is dramatic cuts. We have already cut billions of dollars from the state budget. We've been able to hold, to a certain extent, local aid harmless, but not entirely. You have cities like Lawrence and Hull, the communities that I just mentioned, but they're already laying off hundreds of firefighters across the state, hundreds of police officers. You will see widespread cuts in the local communities, the likes of which we haven't seen in decades.
Carla Howell, correct me if I'm wrong, but part of your argument is there is now waste in state government. There's money that could be removed from state government. And if we cut the sales tax, that could spur people finally to cut the waste. But how are you sure that what gets cut is the waste and not the kind of important community programs that Steve Crawford cites?
Well, they're always going to threaten this, and this is what they do all the time. This is what, in 2008, when we had our End the Income Tax ballot initiative, they said, vote no or we're going to have to cut local aid, and they still made their usual sacrificial cuts, as they always do in good and bad times, always trying to make the case that they need more money. But if you look at the spending, education spending has gone up, state spending has gone up, whereas the typical family in this state has had to cut 10, 20, 30% and more of their family budgets. They are hurting badly, and the state government is really slapping them in the face with continued increases in spending. We're saying a safe trimming of 5% is a start to righting this ship.
So you say the state keeps slapping people in the face. However, we actually have seen real cuts.
Not really. That what we're seeing is total spending going up. And this is the game they always play. And what they don't want you to see is total spending keeps going up. Now, they're either incompetent or lying.
And so total spending may keep going up, but simultaneously, other programs like Hull, like the gang unit, are being cut. So what about that?
So it's time to look your legislator in the eye and say, are you incompetent or are you in bed with a special interest? And which way are you going to go? Because it's time to cut the waste and quit fooling around.
Steve, before I go to callers, because we have many of them, anything you want to add?
Well, I'll wait till after that.
Sure. Let me go to Cheryl from the Back Bay. Cheryl, you think 3% is too much, but you are,
yes, I do.
But you do support a certain cut.
Yes, I do. I would like it, I'd like to see it go back to 5%.
Why just 5?
Well, I just think that cutting it to 3% would just be too much because the cuts have to come from somewhere.
Cheryl, thank you for that. Carla Howell, is that satisfactory for you, rolling back to 5%?
Well, I think that this woman would change her mind if she spent a little bit of time looking at state spending and to see how much waste is there. I mean, the average voter believes that 41 cents on every dollar is wasted in state government spending. That's over $20 billion. That's 10 times what we're cutting here. And you have to ask the reverse question. What have families had to cut? They can't pay their credit cards. They're losing their homes. They can't pay their student loans. We need to not just look at government, but people.
Steve Crawford, do you think that just rolling back to 5% would not hurt quite as much, and would that be satisfactory to you?
Well, that's not on the ballot. What's not on the ballot is cut the sales tax by more than half. It's $2.5 billion. If people really want to know what that means, you can go to votenoquestion3.com. You can look up your community. I live in Arlington, wherever you may be located. You can find out exactly how much your community will be hurt by question three. And people who say they want to send a message, voting in support of question three is not the way to do that because, as you pointed out, this is a binding referendum. It becomes law, and every gubernatorial candidate is saying they will abide by the will of the voters.
I want to bring in a comment that a listener has posted on our website. It's basically asking for a factual clarification. And this is Allison. She writes, could you clarify what people need to pay sales tax on? I think that people who are struggling are likely largely purchasing the essentials, like food, which you don't have to pay sales tax on. Either of you want to take that?
It's food is exempt and clothing under $175, a few other things. If you buy a car, the average car, you're going to save about $600 on that purchase if we roll back the sales tax to 3%. When you go to the mall, when you go buy a computer, school supplies, appliances, lawn equipment, household goods, a lot of things are taxed.
So to that point, we have a caller from Hopkinton. Kevin, what is your thought about this possible rollback? Kevin, are you with us? I think we've lost Kevin. Let me go to someone calling from Brookline, and this is Sandra. Sandra, what do you think about the possible tax rollback?
I think it's unacceptable, and so I'm going to vote no on question three. And I would like Carla Howe to be much more concrete when she talks about savings. I don't accept what you're saying. And I'd like to call you to task on what you're saying. And I don't agree what you're saying about the families and the percentage that they're cutting. But I want you to be very concrete when you talk about savings in the government. And please don't repeat the line that you keep repeating. Be very specific.
So, Sandra, what specific number would you like to hear from Carla Howell, ideally?
Excuse me?
What specific number would you like to hear from Carla Howell, ideally?
I want her to explain the $2.5 billion, the savings in the government, in our government, where that's going to come from, $2.5 billion. And when she says that it's a lie that we haven't cut deep into programs, I would counter that and say that's not true.
Carla,
a lot of great programs have been cut.
Sandra, thanks for that. Carla Howell?
The point I'm making is total spending keeps going up. So you need to talk to your legislators about where they're making the cuts, and I urge you to do that. The $2.34 billion that we're taking out of $52 billion in total state spending, there's lots of choices. One of the areas to look is in government employee pensions, health care benefits, vacation time, sick time, and all kinds of, and even base salaries, which studies have shown repeatedly now that government workers are making more than private sector workers. They have more job security. They are retiring 13 years earlier than their private sector counterparts. They're getting Cadillac health care benefits when people in the private sector are often don't have any insurance or they have high copays, high deductibles. There's all kinds of ways in which there are inequities between what the government worker of today, especially the older ones that are near retirement, and the taxpayers of today, the private sector taxpayers. So we have to make that much more fair, and I think that's a big place to focus on.
Steve Crawford, do you think that it's correct that some of that, a good portion of that $2.5 billion that would have to come out of the budget if Question 3 passes could be accounted for by government pensions, government benefits, sick time, trimming those?
The average pension for a retired state employee in Commonwealth of Massachusetts is $22,000 a year. It's hardly an excessive amount, and much of that is self-funded by the employee's contribution himself. The health care issue is largely an expense that is borne by the local communities. And cutting this money, as I pointed out earlier, will hurt those local communities and does nothing to resolve that issue whatsoever.
Actually, government employee pensions only pay for the contributions of employees, only pays for about the first 2 years of their retirement. The rest is funded by the taxpayers. It is largely funded by the taxpayer.
You're ignoring the $22,000.
Well, $22,000 includes part-time workers, it includes older workers from before the pensions got very lucrative as they are today.
So the two of you dispute that. Let's move to another caller. This is James from Randolph. And James, do you plan to vote? How do you plan to vote on question three?
I will absolutely vote no. And I want to challenge this $700 figure that's being thrown around that would be my supposed savings. I think about my typical spending in a year, and the vast majority of it goes to my rent, my health care, my transportation, clothing, food, things that don't fall under the sales tax. And I think that's pretty common for working people and working families in the state. What I do see is my roads not being in great shape, my schools needing more money, services being cut, and I'm afraid if the sales tax cut goes through, I won't save very much money, but I will see a decrease in service on the T. I will see my roads get even worse. I will see cuts to local aid. I feel like I'm going to lose money if this thing passes, and I'd really like to hear more about where the 700 figure comes from and if it's anything more than just taking the total tax revenue and dividing by the total number of taxpayers.
Thanks for that, James.
Well, of course, it does depend on what your income level is as well as how much you spend, but these examples of government spending areas, roads, schools, the MBTA, a lot of these areas are full of waste. I mean, in the MBTA is one example. People have been retiring in their 40s, even in their young 40s. Now, that's just plain crazy. So we need to remove the waste from individual departments that are typically marbled with waste. It's just the nature of government to overpay, double pay for a lot of things. And as far as your savings, I don't know what your personal income is. It's going to be different from everybody, but it's about $900 per family, $688 per person per worker.
Kurt Nickisch, our WBR reporter, you're still with us. Do you want to weigh in on where you think this $2 billion shortfall would come from?
Well, I think that $2 billion is another number to throw in here because the state revenues have been going down. There is a recovery underway. It's going to get back, you know, it's going to recover at some point, but the fact is the state government has been getting less and less revenue, and it really has a forecasted $2 billion shortfall next year that you have to figure into another $2.5 billion cut if you cut the savings tax. So as somebody who's covered the state legislature, I can be sort of offer some critical analysis and say that they're not cutting enough or they haven't done enough to sort of, you know, meet a budget. The question is, can, you know, if they do that and you lose another $2.5 billion. There is waste. Is that commensurate with maybe $4.5 billion?
Steve Crawford?
And as some of your callers have kind of referred to, is that the money has to come from somewhere. And what you will see undoubtedly is an increase in the property tax for local communities all across the state, in addition to cuts in local aid. And at this point in our economy, we really need to keep our communities strong and keep our recovery on track.
Thanks to both of you. Obviously, a lot to talk about. Voters will decide in November. Carla Howell of the Alliance to Roll Back Taxes, thanks for being with us. And Steve Crawford of the Massachusetts Coalition for Our Communities, thanks to you too. We're about to take a break, but when we come back, the One Laptop Per Child Association has new money to develop a tablet computer for children in the developing world. Founder Nicholas Negroponte joins us to talk about tablets and the future of reading. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back.